God's word tells us over and over to forgive. But why does it seem so hard to do? You are not alone in your struggle to forgive. With the book, You Can Get Over It by Rick Renner, you'll learn how to walk free of the negative attitudes that have kept you bound and bitter. The devil would like nothing more than to keep you down in unforgiveness and misery. Don't let him. In this book, Rick Renner describes how life change comes from a heart change. Jesus understands your emotions, frustrations, and temptations, and still calls us to forgive because it's freedom for you. Walk through the 10 powerful steps to keep your heart free from bitterness and strife. Forgive and see a breakthrough in your health, finances, and relationships. Don't let the devil have a stronghold in your life. No offense is worth sabotaging your future. Pray the prayer of forgiveness in the back of the book and thrive in a bitterness-free future. Start your journey to a life of forgiveness with Rick Renner's book, You Can Get Over It. Get your copy for only $9.99 on kcm.org/TV special or when you call 800-600-7395. Be empowered by God's word and find out how to make the quality choice to forgive and receive the good things God has for you. This offer is good for 60 days. Outside the United States, shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
We are so glad that you joined us for this edition of the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Pastor George Pearson's here, Pastor Terry is here, and we are so thrilled that we are going to be able to bring the Word of God to you today.
It's a privilege, it's an honor, it's a joy, and it's fun. It's fun to be on this side of the camera, and then we see you on the other side of that camera. We don't see massive groups of people so much as we just look through that lens and we see you, because that's what God sees. God sees you.
Amen.
And the word that we have today is a word for you.
Yep.
Isn't that marvelous?
Yep,
only God can arrange that.
Yes.
This is a word for absolutely everybody listening.
Yep.
And the kind of thing that we've been talking about all week long applies to each and every one of us, no matter how many times you've heard it, if it's the first time or the 100th time, it doesn't matter. We can always grow in these wonderful things of God, especially when it comes to talking about
forgiveness. And we've been on a 2-week journey. This is the end of the first week. We're going to start next week and continue. We're taking the time to become developed, really to renew our minds to what it means to walk in the forgiveness of God.
Renew our attitude.
In our attitude as well. There's so much progress we can make in that area. And it's so important because it has everything to do with the development of our faith. How our faith develops really relies on how willing we are to be able to forgive others, to receive that forgiveness. And so today, we're going to talk about a subject that is so important to discuss, and that is called radical forgiveness. Radical forgiveness.
Radical, man. Radical.
Radical. And I want to start out with a quote from Mark Hankins, who is
pretty radical.
Radical.
He's pretty radical.
He says that the radical kind of forgiveness that God extends to us is the same kind of radical forgiveness He expects us to extend to others. That's a really great statement. Radical forgiveness.
It really sounds impossible, but thank God that we have a radical God.
Yeah.
So He didn't ask us to be like Him without Himself stepping in to give us of His nature, to give us His word, to give us His spirit, so that we can be a partaker of His divine nature, and that divine nature is love.
You know, we talk about, Terry, here at the ministry and a church especially, uncommon faith, walking in an uncommon faith. Well, this radical forgiveness, this really is an uncommon forgiveness, because there are people that'll say something like, well, I forgave him, but I'm not going to forget it. That's not forgiveness.
That's not forgiveness.
That's a very low level.
That's one foot in, one foot
that
out.
That is not it at all. No, what we're pressing into is a radical forgiveness that absolutely cleans the slate, clears the deck, and helps us to build our faith.
Yeah, as far as your own heart is concerned. And it's an art, a talent, and it's developed. It takes patience. Not only patience with other people, but also patience with yourself. I tell you, one time, George, I was not pleased with the way I responded to somebody. Hmm. Somebody else observing might have thought I did pretty good given the set of circumstances, but I wasn't happy enough with my own self, and I was really beating myself up over it.
Yeah.
But I talked to my dad because I was feeling low, and he said, Terry, he said, self-evaluation in the presence of faith is a good thing, but apart from faith, it becomes condemnation, and that's demonic. Yeah. So there's a balance in all of this, and that balance is God's love to us along with God's love through us.
Yeah.
And both have to be working at the same time.
Let me read this scripture to you. This is Luke 17, verses 3 and 4, the Amplified Classic. And as I'm thinking about it, these notes are available to you, especially this one, Radical Forgiveness. Just go to kcm.org/notes, and you'll be able to download these absolutely free.
And a lot of resources and materials.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Things for free, things you can purchase, because this is the kind of thing that this is a lifetime objective.
It is. It is. Luke 17, verses 3 and 4, Amplified Classic. Pay attention and always be on your guard, looking out for one another. If your brother sins or misses the mark, solemnly tell him so and reprove him. And if he repents, feel sorry for having sinned, forgive him.
Now that means he doesn't want you to ignore the situation. A lot of people try to walk in love and do it alone. And really love, there's a lot that you do within yourself between you and God. Mm-hmm. But love moves towards people, not away from them. Now, let's just take this apart for a moment. He says, you solemnly tell him and reprove him or show him the mistake here, but you have to stay in love. You have to check your motive. You have to check your own love walk.
Yeah.
You have to see to it that you're endeavoring to get things worked out to their benefit and that you're not just trying to get even and be prideful. That you know everything. You approach people in a spirit of humility, in a spirit of love, knowing that you not only maybe could have missed it, you probably did.
Yeah.
You could have easily heard wrong, been too touchy. You may have done the very same thing to that person and not even realized it, or maybe you know you did.
Right.
So Jesus said solemnly, that means you need to be thoughtful about this and not, you know, some things are just not worth bringing up. They're just not worth it, really. Let them go. Forget about it. Don't know. So this would save many marriages. Just forget about it. You can't pick on somebody all the time.
Right.
Your love walk is to let it go. But there are some things that if they are never confronted, never talked about, then they prevent you from being able to move forward in a relationship. And God wants relationship to be restored.
Yeah.
It says if he repents, then you can move forward. And you may have to repent as well because you aren't perfect. We often judge people, we judge them by our own intentions, but we judge them by their actions. We judge them by what we hope they thought, or we judge them. Sometimes we really do have a stinky attitude underneath, but we say all the right things. And we expect them to listen to what we say and not the feeling that's coming through it. It gets very, very convoluted, so you have to be sure of yourself first, that your heart is clear and your motives are right, and then be willing to hear them out. But then, George, what do you do if they don't? What if they say, well, you're full of it, sir. I don't even know what you're talking about. You blah, 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 blah. And that happens.
Yeah.
Other times people just huff and puff and walk off. Sometimes it can be somebody very close to you and they just lose their temper even further. So what do you do? What if he doesn't repent? Luke 6:27 says, you have to love your enemies. So when somebody, that doesn't always just mean somebody that's enemy like they want to kill you alone, like that far gone, but even somebody that's on the opposite side of the view, opposite side of the problem, opposite side of the viewpoint. Yeah. It's different and there's contention and they've hurt you or offended you something in some way, to what do you do? No matter what they do or don't do, what you do is that he said, love your enemies, do good to those that hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those that hurt you. Mm. A lot of times, if you'll move over into a place of not just forgiveness, but forgiveness in action is to pray for them the way you would if they had done nothing against you. Pray for them, for their blessing, for their prosperity, for God to help them and to help, ask him to help you be better towards them. And let the Lord then begin to work. Yeah. But no matter what, you have to release malice. You have to release anger and hurt. It's a beautiful thing, and you can see it worked out both ways in a courtroom. You see it sometimes where somebody, maybe their loved one was murdered. And one person will say, may you rot in hell. And then another person would say, I forgive you, man.
Yeah.
I forgive you. And I hope you turn your life around. Mm-hmm. So that person will go away justified no matter what the murderer did.
Yeah.
But the person who can't let the malice go, even maybe they deserve the sentence that they get, but they can't let that malice go and they hold on to it and that bitterness of heart, seemingly justified, they do that, then they're going to walk away with the same condemnation they've cursed that other person with. It comes back around that way. So when God tells us to walk in love and forgive, he's trying to get help to us, not just to that other person.
I remember one time your dad said this was very good. He said, sometimes you have to love people at a distance.
Love them at a distance. Sometimes you do, sometimes because of them.
Yeah.
Sometimes because of you. Sometimes because of both of you.
Yeah.
And you have to.
It's like the teacher separating the two in the class.
That's right. That's right. You'll cool off.
Yeah.
And don't go approaching somebody to show them how wrong they are while you're fiery mad about it. Yeah. That's just not very smart. But let cooler heads prevail. Ask the Lord to help you and let go of that
And don't
bitterness.
Be spreading it.
Don't be telling everybody.
That becomes the topic of conversation in people's lives. Ask me how I know. We've been there. We've done that.
Big mistakes.
And we still have to ride herd on that one.
And we really value relationships. I think we're talking here now about relationships. Value them. Relationships are just precious in God.
Yep.
And they mean a lot to God. And so valuing relationships enough to know when to let that go. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And then other times when something really pushes your button, and it may be something really serious, but you really know that relationship is not one you should let go of, then don't let go of it.
Jesse's like that. I'm thinking about right now when Jesse was going through that with the media about his airplane.
Yeah.
And the media was just coming down hard on him. And he makes a beeline to them. I mean, he runs right to them and he thanks them for the attention that
That's
is given
right.
to
Thank
him.
You.
Because
Thank
there
you.
Are people there are people that saw Jesse in his airplane on the news and they wanted to give to it. And so Jesse, I won't name the news outlet, but Jesse thanked one of the news.
I think it was all of them.
But he didn't get upset and he didn't get mad at him. He turned it around. That's another level. That's a radical forgiveness.
Listen, I know of one relationship. This is really sad, but they were so angry at each other over the slightest things. I remember hearing them. This was actually family members, not my close family, but I heard them and they had such unforgiveness over who drank the last of the orange juice.
Yeah.
You know? Go buy more orange juice. Get a his jug and her jug if necessary. Whatever it takes. But to be, let things like that rob you. And equally dangerous are those little things that you don't forgive, let go of on purpose. They build up until you just explode. But you want to know how to prevent an explosion? Is to let it go every time. Let it go when there's a little thing, mostly annoyances. And you don't think about needing to forgive someone for being annoying, but it's a lot of the same thing. And then you need to look in the mirror and say, I need to not be so touchy and so picky. There's no telling how many marriages and close friendships and working relationships, people have lost their jobs because of silly things that they let build up and blow up things that look so big to you today, you practice these kind of things, and later on, you realize it wasn't so big. Big deal. Yeah. You can get to the point, even racial slurs and things like that. You know, okay. People say, well, you don't have racial problems. I really haven't had any kind of racial pressures, but I have been, I had smoke blown in my face. I have been taken in a chokehold working in television. Yeah. I have been pushed up against the wall. I've been laughed at, disregarded.
Not by staff here.
I actually have had, at that time, I had staff that paid no attention to me because I was a little younger than they were and because I was female. So there's opportunity no matter who you are. You're not as smart as somebody, not as good looking, not as wealthy, or maybe because you are wealthy or because you are nice looking. Who knows? People will find a way to express contempt for you because of something about you they don't like. But you had to learn to let those things, it's not important. And you love them anyway, and you look through that. And the moment you begin to cut other people off is the moment you can't help them anymore. And that should be our objective, is how can we still show them love? And a lot of times you can't get close enough to people they're so angry to show them love, but they can feel it when you're not angry.
Yeah.
They feel it when you don't hate. And they know there's something different. And even in their heads, if they don't recognize it, Jesus knows, and he will use that seed to bring forth or attempt to bring forth a harvest in their life.
That's right. This radical forgiveness is 1 Corinthians 13:5 in the Amplified Translation. Love takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It's true that some unrepented wrongs prevent a whole relationship from moving forward, but as for you, you can hold on to the offense. You can't hold on to the offense.
You can't do it. You've got to let it go for your sake, but also by letting it go, you help them.
Yeah.
And your children and everybody that's watching you.
Exactly.
Create an atmosphere.
Exactly.
You know, you're one of the most loving people I know. You create a real atmosphere, a lighthearted atmosphere. You're joyful. And you're fun to be around. I've learned to push those buttons to press you more than anybody else. But, you know, you're always really kind, and you're both quick to forgive and quick to repent. I appreciate that about you.
So, well, I try.
Yes, you
I do. I really do.
And I appreciate it.
Yes, we have a good marriage, don't
we? Yes, we do.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. There you go.
Okay. Where are we going?
Now, let's see.
You are so deep into this now.
Peter said, at one point he asked the Lord, he said, how many times do I have to forgive him, Lord? Now tell me again how many that is.
Yeah.
He said, look, 7 times 7. I think I can do 7 times 7. And Jesus said, Peter,
this
you got to get past the point where it's uncountable. 70 times 7, 490 times. And I'm sure if Peter had encountered somebody at that many times offended, Jesus said, add 70 times 7 more, because it's a lifestyle, of forgiveness.
Yep. And it's here. You've got here in Psalm 103, to bless, this is Amplified Classic, bless affectionately, gratefully, praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not one of all his benefits, who forgives every one of all your iniquities.
I know I'm talking a lot on this broadcast.
That's okay.
You're so inspired
me.
But then he says, gratefully praise the Lord and forget not his benefits. You know, one of the things that I remember helping me when we were young married couple, and that is listing the benefits. Mm-hmm. Change your focus. Mm-hmm. Change your attention. You know, the yeah, but is a wonderful phrase. It can be, yeah, but in a negative way, or you can say, yeah, but in a positive way. So some little something happens, or maybe a big something happens. What do? Yeah, but you know what? I remember when. Yeah, but that relationship means so much. Yeah, but I made a commitment. Yeah, but I've done that same kind of thing before. Yeah, but I understand. Yeah, but I know what they've gone through. Yeah, but they haven't heard the things that I've heard. Yeah, they've never had anybody teach them like I have. Yeah, they're not as accountable as I am because I've heard so much more. Yeah, but I'm older. Yeah, but all those, yeah, and you count and you bless them for the things. You count their benefits. That's what he's saying. Mm-hmm. Gratefully,
yeah.
Don't forget his benefits, yeah. And every good thing that's in somebody else came from God. Lord, you've benefited me through that person. Even if they were just awful, say, well, you know what I've learned something about? I've learned not to be that way. Somebody said to Brother Hagin one time, you'd say something nice about the devil. And he said, well, he is a sorry cuss, you know. That's about the worst you'd ever get, even about the devil. Because he just didn't go down letting his thoughts emphasize that part of people.
So the Lord gave me three examples of radical faith, and I want to take a few minutes here to talk about them, like 2 minutes apiece. First of all, in Job 42:7-13, and I won't read all of those to you, but Job had a radical faith, or faith, forgiveness, and
it took him a while to get to it.
It really did, but in verse 8 it talked about, my servant Job will pray for you, and I will accept his prayer on your behalf. I will not treat you as you deserve, for you have not spoken accurately about me as my servant Job has. So Job, it says in verse 10, he prayed for his friends. He prayed for his friends. He released that. He let it go. He dismissed the offense that was on him about these people. He let it go. And listen to what the Lord did. The Lord restored his fortunes. In fact, the Lord gave him twice as much as before. So that's what happens.
And that flow of forgiveness, George, it moved him out of bitterness that he had even towards the Lord.
He
was mistaken in thinking the Lord had caused him his trouble. And he was bitter. You could analyze all that. But the main thing, God got him his mind off himself onto loving other people.
Yeah.
And when he did, his fortunes were restored and he got his healing.
It affected his prosperity.
Yeah.
To walk in forgiveness affects your prosperity. Do you see the connection between forgiveness and everything else that we do? So we see here verse 12, so the Lord blessed Job in the second half of his life even more than in the beginning. For now he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 team of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys.
And then Joseph.
Joseph's radical forgiveness. His brothers sold him into slavery. He was falsely imprisoned by Potiphar. He was forgotten by the chief butler, whom he helped. And I wrote here, how could you blame him for being bitter and resentful? But he wasn't. He wasn't. We found out, where is that? Talking about Joseph, they sent messengers to Joseph saying, before your father died, he commanded saying, thus shall you say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sins, for they did evil to you. Now please forgive the trespass of the servants of God of your father. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. And then his brothers also went and fell down before his face and said, behold, we're your servants. And Joseph said to them, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, for I am in a place of God. But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now, therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. He was in a very desperate family situation, and that was radical forgiveness that Joseph operated in. He forgave his brothers.
He did.
He forgave his brothers.
He was very watchful to see where they were coming from. But even before he knew for sure that they had repented of their horrible actions, he forgave them. He wept over them. He wanted to bless them and help them even before he knew for sure that they had had a change of heart.
And so he forgave them. He released it. He let it go.
Yes, he did.
He let it go. You know, Ephraim and Manasseh, or is it Manasseh and Ephraim? Is it, which one? Anyway, the two sons, Joseph's two sons. Basically their names mean you've got to forget the past in order to move on to the future. In order for you to bear fruit, you're going to have to forget the past. And that speaks to us in terms of, in order for you to move forward, you are going to have to forget the past. You're going to have to forgive. You're going to have to let it go. You're going to have to dismiss those things that have been said or done against you to be able to move forward. Finally, Jesus, radical forgiveness. In Luke 23:32, it says, two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on the left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. That's the ultimate forgiveness.
Talk about radical.
Right there. Radical
and
forgiveness.
And in that moment, he had such love that it went beyond that moment, throughout, covered every person throughout all eternity that would look and receive that forgiveness, would have a change in their life, a change
That's
in their very innermost being. You
That's
know, Pastor George, this you've got a scripture here for our offering and how it is tied into all of this.
Short amount to tell
That's
it.
Right.
But this one, this is Matthew 5:23. So if you're presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice at the altar, go and be reconciled with that person, then come and offer your sacrifice to God.
So you can see,
you
can see how important that it for your sacrifice to be, or your gift, your offering, and not only at the church, but the things you do for the Lord. Why? How will they count if they're not offered in love and offered in forgiveness?
Yes, so you can talk a whole week on that.
Yes.
But we just have these few moments.
So you're offering this week.
Yes.
This is offering week.
We
almost forgot our opportunity here to be a part of supporting the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast and all that we do here at Kenneth Copeland Ministries. We want to open the door for that and ask you to ask the Lord and just do what's in your heart and do something to really help move this message of faith and love to other people. You can give online. You can give by texting. Or you can call us. All that information is right there on your screen. We receive what you give in faith. We receive it by love and believe that the blessing of the Lord is on that seed of faith.
Right.
And we have lots of room for more finances to come in because there's a lot we plan to do.
And before you give, just take a moment and say, Father, I forgive whoever, whatever, wherever. I forgive and say this, I receive my forgiveness for what I have done to someone else.
That's right.
This is radical forgiveness we're talking about. And for you and your gift to be able to work to its fullest, we have to walk in that total
forgiveness. And you may want to give a gift as a show to the Lord
Absolutely.
That I am forgiving by faith. Glory
to God.
So
remember this.
Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland would like to thank you for praying and sowing into Kenneth Copeland Ministries. We are believing with you for your abundant harvest. To sow your financial seed, you can text the letters KCM to 36609, go online to kcm.org/give, or call 800-600-7395. Your giving has helped send the word of faith from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around the middle.